All right, let's dive straight in. Imagine stepping into maybe the busiest digital town square right now.
Yeah, completely unfiltered.
Exactly. A place where conversations are raw, unedited, just constantly evolving. Today, we're doing a deep dive into that kind of space.
Okay.
We've got this eclectic collection of recent online forum posts. These aren't, polished articles or anything.
No hint at all.
They're the quick thoughts, reactions, sometimes really intense opinions from a general discussion board, HSG old 150694, captured just a few days back, August 21st to 26th, 2025.
And it gives you this fascinating, completely unfiltered snapshot of online community life, doesn't it?
It really does.
What's striking, I think, is just the sheer speed and the breadth of topics, people jumping from one thing to the next.
Yeah, and the emotion behind it
Oh,
sometimes.
definitely. Often delivered with this raw emotional intensity. So our mission today is sort of navigate this digital landscape, pull out the most intriguing bits, the insights, and help you understand the pulse of these conversations. We're talking everything from like deep dives into game mechanics to the often chaotic world of internet subcultures, even some pretty controversial social commentary.
Right. So you'll get a unique perspective on how these communities form, what they're actually talking about, and that complex mix of, well, creativity and conflict that defines them.
Exactly. It's quite a mix.
So to kick things off, let's head into the wild world of fandoms and game talk. We saw a lot of activity around the Homestuck General Board.
Ah, Homestuck. Always active.
Yeah, mentions of homesick posting mode, which sounds like, nostalgia, maybe thinking back to earlier fan days.
Sort of a longing for the past, maybe.
Could be. And we also saw some fascinating fan-made stuff, like a Homestuck Swap AU. That's
Yeah.
alternate universe imagining old internet meme characters like Awesome Face and Ouija in the Homestuck story.
That shows real creativity putting those elements together. It's a testament to how deeply fans get immersed, you know. And that immersion, it brings intense passion. You saw that with the reaction to the big news. Homestuck.com is returning soon.
Oh, yeah, that caused a stir.
Huge stir. Updates, an official Discord community announced, and it sparked debates, not just excitement.
Right, people weren't just happy.
Not entirely. Users were scrutinizing the creator, questioning if an official Discord was needed when there's already a fan-run HSG core.
The existing community.
Exactly. They even brought up past controversies. It really highlights how, in these established fan bases, loyalty and, well, scrutiny often go hand in hand. They feel a real ownership.
That's a great point, that sense of ownership. It wasn't just Homestuck getting debated, though. We saw critiques of other game narratives, too.
Like Delatroon.
Yeah, Deltarune Chapter 4, comments about how establishing Gerson's message and a major prophecy in the same chapter maybe felt a bit too neat, like it lessened the tension.
Packing too much in, potentially undermining the buildup.
Maybe. And there was also this strong feeling from some users that game developers are neutering difficulty, making games easier for mass appeal.
That old chestnut, the accessibility versus challenge debate.
Exactly. Some players really seem to resent that. Why do you think that tension keeps coming up again and again?
Well, it's like a fundamental split in gaming philosophy, isn't it? You have players seeking that tough challenge, the reward that comes from overcoming something difficult.
Right, the hardcore crowd.
And then developers often aiming for broader reach, a bigger market, which usually means smoothing out the really sharp edges of difficulty.
Which fuels these passionate discussions.
Absolutely. And on the character side for Deltarune, we saw tons of love for Spamton, that bizarre, iconic merchant character, lots of humor around him.
He's definitely memorable.
And even ongoing fan debates like Ralsei does not smoke weed versus it's canon.
Wait, Ralsei, the really innocent looking one.
That's the one. Which makes the idea of him smoking weed pretty funny and absurd. It's a perfect example of how fan theories and headcanons just explode.
And become fiercely defended parts of the community lore.
Exactly. People get really invested in their interpretations.
It's amazing how these little details become huge deals, but okay, beyond just reacting to stories, these forums got really granular on game design itself.
Oh, yeah, dissecting the mechanics.
What happens when players really pick apart how a game works, sometimes pushing back on developer choices? Let's look at a rogue like Shiren the Wanderer.
Right, Sharon 6 versus Sharon 5.
Exactly. Big debate. Is Sharen 6 genuinely harder, Or does it just feel harder because players expected something else?
And they got specific, didn't they? Talking about the early game, the lack of certain items.
Yeah, like escape scrolls, the alchemy pot key, utility stuff missing at the start.
Yeah.
And strategies for dealing with it, like farming arrows or letting enemies rank up for more XP.
Mm-hmm. Resource management becomes crucial. But what these discussions often show is that tension between expecting a certain challenge and maybe how the developers paced it.
So was it actually harder or just different?
Well, the deep dive revealed some of that perceived difficulty, like the missing items, is temporary. Things like synthesis pots, escape scrolls, they unlock later.
Ah, so it's a gradual curve, not just a brick wall.
Exactly. It suggests a more deliberate design, maybe. A journey of discovery for the player, figuring things out.
That's a perfect example of the community kind of reverse engineering the game. Now, here's a really interesting one. A detailed comparison of Half-Life and Portal.
Oh, the Valve classics.
Right. And the argument was pretty strong. Portal, Half-Life, Half-Life 2. Quite the hierarchy.
Wow. Putting Portal on top like that. What was the reasoning?
The main point was that Half-Life's famous indirect storytelling, while some felt Black Mesa's design was too much like an amusement park ride, too guided.
Less emergent, more scripted.
Kind of. And they questioned some world-building stuff, like portal storms and how the Combine teleportation worked. Just didn't quite hold together for them.
Okay, and Portal.
Portal got praised for its tight physics-central puzzles and really sensible map design. Someone even called it Valve's best game, even though it originally came from external devs.
That highlights how much players value that narrative consistency and intuitive gameplay, doesn't it? Feeling immersed, not just pushed along.
Exactly. And speaking of design critiques, let's talk about Deadlock. It's a MOBA-style hero shooter.
Mm-hmm. Newer territory.
Yeah. Users acknowledged it learned from other MOBAs, Gigantic, Dota 2, Paladins, things like objectives, buffs, jungle mechanics, damage reduction, standard stuff.
So it built on existing ideas.
But a huge critique was leveled at its control scheme, described as remarkably unintuitive and intensive.
Uh-oh. That sounds like a barrier.
It does. Players apparently struggle juggling Wazini movement, melee attacks, dashes, active items, and a parry mechanic.
Wow, that is a lot to handle simultaneously.
Yeah. Plus complaints about small gun clips, long reloads, and a heavy focus on headshots.
Oof. Sounds frustrating.
Led to feelings of being outright bad, maybe a snowballing problem, where early leads are impossible to overcome.
Which is killer in a MOBA.
Right. And skills from other shooters apparently didn't transfer well for a genre already known for tough learning curves and sometimes, let's be honest, toxic communities.
An overly complex control scheme is a massive hurdle, even for experienced players.
Definitely. These detailed critiques of Deadlock bring us to something broader, more philosophical that gamers wrestle with. What's the fundamental point of combat in an RPG?
The age-old question.
We saw this fascinating debate about URPGism, like the essential RPG experience, and the core patterns in turn-based combat.
Okay, what was the take?
One view argued combat's main job is just to give purpose to the other, more interesting parts of the game, not an end in itself.
So it serves the exploration or the story?
Kind of. They distinguish between dungeon crawlers, where combat is about survival, draining resources, and adventure RPGs, where combat might just be a gate pushing you towards story or puzzles.
That's an interesting distinction. It really gets at the evolution of RPGs, right?
Yeah.
And player engagement.
Absolutely. And tied to that was a critique of modern JRPGs becoming a movie, but you have to grind to see the next scene.
Uh-huh. I've heard that one before.
And relying on simplistic mechanics like hit weakness, idiot.
Yeah, just finding the elemental matchup.
So to fix this, users brainstormed easy solutions for more engaging combat. Ideas like reverse limit breakers, damage increasing as you land hits, not saved for one big burst.
Oh, that's a neat idea. Rewarding aggression.
And just improving the AI, mm-hmm. Making enemies smarter without just giving them more health. All without killing that satisfying power fantasy.
So seeking depth. But not necessarily just complexity for complexity's sake. Makes sense.
Finally, in this big game section, we saw Pokemon team building.
Always popular.
But not just casual chats. These were detailed suggestions, categorizing types like mid-tier, gender-coded Pokemon linked to certain internet subcultures.
Wait, gender-coded Pokemon?
Apparently, yeah. Associated with certain online groups. Also discussions about Kanatids, specific steel types like Aggron, Metagross, Zygarde. Often linked to a user's online identity, their trip code.
So the team building becomes a form of self-expression online.
Exactly. And they even talked about egg groups, the breeding categories functioning like clans or races in other RPGs. It shows this really deep, personalized connection to the mechanics and lore.
Wow. Okay, so moving from the, let's say, structured worlds of games.
Yeah, let's shift gears.
To the much more fluid, sometimes pretty bizarre landscape of internet culture, memes, social currents. This uncovers another layer of how these online communities see the world.
And what's really captivating here is this 2032 core thing.
Right. I saw that. Explain that one.
It's this intriguing kind of speculative internet subculture predicting future social trends based on, and this is their confirmation from the AI God Kings.
Okay. AI God Kings. Got it.
Some foresee in 2032, the general jailbait populace starts using pacifiers in public.
Pacifiers? Seriously?
Seriously. And then in 2033, outright diapen wearing diapers.
Whoa. That's quite a prediction.
Yeah. It included talk about using frilly nappy as an AI image prompt and this broader idea of society becoming infantilized under late empire. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
But this 2032 core stuff, it isn't just a random meme, is it? It feels like it taps into something deeper.
How so?
It's like a way these online communities are processing anxieties about where society's headed, maybe societal decline, mixing dark humor with sci-fi speculation.
Using AI as a kind of new oracle.
Sort of. Leveraging AI as a tool for cultural prophecy, almost. It reflects this specific internet corner grappling with the future, expressing it through humor and, yeah, provocation. It's unsettling, but fascinating.
A glimpse into a certain mindset, for sure. And speaking of creation, we saw practical talks about making sinking town memes.
Ah, yes, the meme factory.
Using software like Fire Alpaca, Sony Vegas Pro, often featuring specific characters like Xeno and Zion from something called Epic Universe, depicting story arcs like Zion's death.
So they're building ongoing narratives through memes.
Seems like it. And even debating the spelling of internet slang like Wojak, Wojak, or Wojak for maximum synchronicity.
The details matter. It shows how meticulous meme creation can be. They really care about the cultural resonance.
It shows they're active creators, right? Not just consuming stuff, shaping their own language.
Definitely. Which brings us to reflections on online identity. And this leads to a really fascinating kind of dark philosophical argument defending the neat lifestyle.
Neat, not in education, employment, or training.
Right. This argument proposed that someone living as a neat, even if they live a shorter life overall, actually experiences more years of freedom than a wagee, that's their term for a wage worker, who lives longer but spends most of their life working.
So framing wage labor as time that isn't your own?
Exactly. It's presented as an anti-work fatalistic justification for avoiding traditional jobs. It's a stark reflection of disillusionment you find in some online spaces.
Really questioning modern ideas about work and purpose.
Deeply questioning them. We also saw discussions on media influence, Hollywood's supposed agenda.
Ah, the conspiracy angle.
Yeah, prompting reactions from dismissals like obvious bait to actual conspiratorial views like the idea that Hollywood is run by Jews.
Yeah.
Now, it's really important here.
Yes, let's be clear.
Our role is just to neutrally report that these views are present in the source material. It shows the unfiltered nature of the discourse, the variety of theories, including some deeply problematic ones, that circulate.
We are absolutely not endorsing these views. We're presenting the raw data from the forum.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The forum also touched on gender dynamics. Mm. There was a quote from a South Korean actor about men and women rarely being just friends.
Okay, what was the reasoning?
He said men prefer drinking and playing video games together, while women prefer conversations.
And how did the forum react to conversations?
With further, often cynical commentary. Speculating that conversations might mean gossip and scheming or shit tests.
So taking an external comment and filtering it through their own subcultural lens.
Exactly. It becomes grist for the mill of existing narratives online. And speaking of narratives and control, content moderation came up.
Right. The removal of CHUD as a filter term.
Yeah, CHUD being an often derogatory political term. Users reacted to its removal, highlighting that constant tension online between free expression and platform rules.
A never-ending battle.
And crucially, we have to note the presence of extremely hateful and genocidal rhetoric, targeting specific ethnic groups, calls for exterminating the Indian race, other deeply offensive comments.
Again, vital to state, this content exists in the sources. We're showing the darker, unfiltered side of this discourse, no endorsement whatsoever.
Absolutely not. It's a sobering look at what can fester in these spaces.
It really is. On a maybe less intense note, technology, AI's growing presence was visible.
Yeah, updates from Character AI, CAI, their pipsqueak model got updates.
Touting better memory, better roleplay quality, and a fine-tuned filter called Bob.
Bob the filter. What does Bob do?
Apparently, Bob is better at recognizing roleplay and fictional content, meaning fewer interruptions from the filter for users.
Ah, less friction for the roleplayers. And there were other platform features too, right?
Yeah, things like easier discovery, clear creation transparency with restricted labels, a community feed to boost creators.
And interestingly, Bing seems to have caught up to that frilly, nappy AI image prompt we mentioned earlier from 2032 Core.
Shows how fast AI adapts to user trends, even the really niche, weird ones.
The feedback loop is incredibly quick.
Okay, let's bring it back down to earth for a second. Amidst all that intensity, the forums also showed glimpses of just everyday life, the mundane stuff.
The relatable frustrations.
Totally. Like the annoyance of AliExpress always showing up in Portuguese no matter the setting.
Oh, I could feel that pain.
Personal reflections on selling Steam trading cards for, you know, modest amounts. The classic writer's block and caffeine withdrawal, universal struggles.
Absolutely. Grounds it all, doesn't it? We even saw someone share dropping their phone in the toilet.
The ultimate modern nightmare.
Pretty much. Observations on Reddit, karma farming, that whole game. And this weird one about Firefox caching a web page.
Oh.
And then recovering more data with each reboot, even when the server was down. Like a digital ghost.
Bizarre. But these little things, the everyday wins and losses, they remind you there are real people behind the usernames.
Exactly. Grappling with tech and daily life just like the rest of us.
So after sifting through all this, this digital stream of consciousness, what's the big picture? We dove into this forum, seemed chaotic at first glance.
But underneath.
Underneath complex layers, fan passion, super insightful game analysis, these unique digital subcultures forming, and yeah, that raw, sometimes jarring social commentary.
It's a space where creativity bumps right up against the mundane and also the intensely controversial, all happening at once.
So what's the key takeaway for you, for our listeners?
I think it's seeing how these online spaces really act as a crucible. Forging both innovation and conflict. You've seen how dedicated fans engage, how deep the game dissections go, how internet culture creates memes, but also hosts this intense, sometimes alarming social discourse. It's this blend, this vibrant, unpredictable mix that really defines online interaction today.
A reflection of us maybe in the digital age.
In many ways, yes. This deep dive, it shows that under the surface of all the seemingly random chatter, you find these consistent human threads, all right?
For need to connect.
Connect, create, critique, find meaning, or even just rebel against it all.
So the final thought then, as we navigate this increasingly complex digital world, how do we learn to sift through it? How do we find the valuable insights in all the noise?
And maybe how do we prepare ourselves for whatever the next 2032 core prediction might be? Or the cultural currents we haven't even seen yet.
It's a constant challenge, isn't it? Staying informed, trying to understand the world being built one forum post at a time.